Beck joins us today to talk and to play some acoustic versions of songs from The Information, his latest album. It was originally released last fall with its do-it-yourself cover and added videos, but next week, February 27th, the deluxe three-disc edition will be in stores with remixes from the likes of David Andrews, Sitek of TV on the Radio. The new album was produced by Nigel Goodrich, who has produced Radiohead and in the past has worked with Beck on his more singer-songwriter albums. Now, this album seems to combine all of Beck's styles. Let's begin with this performance of We Dance Alone.
Thoughts, I want to live every day in the way that we lost. But a fortunate thing got crisscrossed across like a kiss in the car. So our legs hit the walk. Desert terrain, we were wayward and plain. Waiting for rain and the deck, get afraid of what pain might do to the pleasure we knew before we had to move on. I did my best for you.
The acoustic version of We Dance Alone from The Information, Beck's album that came out last October, and through a series of mishaps, we are finally getting a chance to talk to Beck about this album. Does it feel a little ancient to you at this point?
Not too much. I mean, this record's been weird because we went on the tour for it about 6 months before it came out, and we started recording it about 3.5 years ago, so it's been with me for a while.
It's eaten up a lot of time in that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny when you look at this album. One of the things people like to do is to put your albums into different camps. There's sort of the louder, more hip hop influenced albums and the quieter, more song albums. And when people saw that Nigel Goodrich was doing The Information, because he's worked on some of the quieter albums in the past. I think people kind of assume that's what this was. But this kind of seems to be a combination of the two, if I'm reading it right. Was that your intention in any way?
Yeah. I mean, even when we did Sea Change, I remember him being a little reticent about us doing the same thing we did on Mutations. So those are real effort to not repeat that. And so after we did Sea Change, we kind of had visited the same terrain twice already. So we definitely wanted to do something different. And he really wanted to do a hip hop record, which I didn't want to do. I wanted to do something that was a little bit more like a early Miles Davis, an early 70s Miles Davis free for all. So we kind of met halfway in between.
Well, you have a cast of characters you work with live, you work with in the studio a lot, and just wonderful people, and Smokey Hormel and others. How do they contribute when you're working in the studio? What's that relationship like?
It's usually I give people a rough plan. People don't know what we're doing. Usually they don't know the songs, and we try to keep it as unformed as possible, you know, meaning that we try to capture the song before people know what they're doing. That's always been the trick. So there's not a lot of preparation. I kind of go in, I'm prepared, I know what we're doing, but nobody else does. And we give people things to do, and when we get a good one, we just put it down and move on.
Well, this is a version of Think I'm in Love where everything just hooks up really, really, really well.
Really think I better get a hold of myself. Wanna let the night get whispering love through a smoke ring smile. She doesn't know what happens when she's around. Think I'm in love, but it makes me kinda nervous to say so. Think I'm in love, but it makes me kinda nervous to say so. Probably lay my head on the wood. Tell her I was tired from working the stove. Cutting all the cash from an old shoebox, saving up to buy something she wants. Think I'm in love, but it makes me kinda nervous to say so. Think I'm in love, but it makes me kinda nervous to say so.
Think I'm in Love, another one of the live acoustic versions, which we're talking with Beck about the information and many things. You alluded to starting out and how you approached music early on. I'm thinking of, I don't want to go all the way back, but maybe from when you reappeared in L.A. And it was kind of at a point where one of the least hip things in the world to be was a singer-songwriter. Did you share that feeling at the time?
Yeah, it was a tradition that I really looked up to, and it's something that I felt like was natural for me. But it was definitely at a time where you were almost apologetic about it. It, you know, in retrospect, it's kind of strange looking at that, but that was definitely the atmosphere at the time. You know, when I grew up in that, you know, I grew up in that scene where, sort of in the shadow of that singer-songwriter California thing, and it was really looked down on. So I think it's obviously come full circle, but at the time it was, kind of comedic songs to balance out the Mississippi John Hurt covers and the more singer-songwriter kind of stuff.
At that point, you were kind of known for jumping on stage between band sets in L.A., and that's what you'd be doing, old blues things and sort of your vaudeville in a way.
Yeah, in a way. I mean, I kind of wish I gave it a little bit more credit, but yeah, it was definitely... because people would talk over you, you know, if you didn't have drums and electric guitar. So I started doing things that were, to me, almost like performance art. I would bring a leaf blower on stage and blow leaves at the audience, or set my acoustic guitar on fire. And just as a way to kind of get people to listen, you know, or be louder than the...
right.
Then the talking, and I think I ended up with the wacky tag, you know, but that was really what it was just trying to get people's attention, I guess.
And I was curious about Beck's flow, his rapping. Was it freeform or crafted or a combination? So I asked.
I mean, that's the thing with that kind of writing for those kind of songs, is there's no real rules about structure. I mean, there's conventions, but it's definitely open to whatever you want to do rhythmically or lyrically or whatever you want to say. You know, it takes about 10 times longer to write a rap, really, than any other kind of song, because you're talking so fast, and through a conventional song, you would blow through the first verse in the first 8 seconds. To me, they are improvisations. Sometimes they are on the page, and then when you get on the microphone, they have to feel right. So there is some. Sometimes I just have to improvise something, because something that I was trying to articulate might have been really interesting, but it just didn't sound good over a beat. That happens a lot. So on this record, actually, I started experimenting with completely improvising. You know, just closing my eyes, and I would just go for an hour, and then we just pick the best, you know, 3 minutes or, you know, where it just came together. But that's what's great about that form, you know. It's when I first made my naive attempts at it, and I mean, they're still naive to a certain extent, because I don't really claim to be versed in that world. I mean, I'm a fan of that music, but I'm sort of knocking things over in the dark, really.
It's interesting that you still see yourself that way, this far down the line. The more you become an established figure, do you feel removed from things indie? And I asked that, I actually wrote that question a long time ago, and then I looked at your recent list of faves for last year in Harp, and Dr. Dog and Spank Rock were on there and getting shout outs. So it seems like you're playing fairly close attention there.
Yeah, I mean, that's my world. I don't know if I'm accepted in that world. The musicians coming out of that world to me are ones that I relate to.
Beck is our guest on the Cafe today, and we're listening to some of the performances of music from The Information. I wanted to play the performance of Dark Star, and this seems to be pointedly one of the few times you get pointedly political in a way, but it seems to be about Iraq.
It's just about the atmosphere, you know, and I think that's the best you can do. There's not a lot that's really explicit, you know.
Well, this is an acoustic version of Dark Star from Beck.
Silence. We got all we need, droning out of a tin can. Thinking about the rain under a sweatshirt hood. Listening to noise on a battery tape deck. Judas train wreck, anonymous suspect. Coming, knock segregations. Learners waste away inside of vacant locations. Think tanks empty in a national dream back. Plugging my reactor to the fallout zone. The enemy story is a lot like mine. And if you get to the point, then you know better than I. Dark star, like an eye that's closing. Chase to the shores from a sky that's open. Infidels swallowed in a vanishing point. Ammunition souls in the holes in the ozone. Widow's tears washing a soldier's bones. Sterilized peoples, delirium sequels. Captured by the arrows of American eagles. Let's teach you all the rules to delete you. Backspace my brain, my equilibrium goes. Dark star, like an eye that's closing. Say this to the stars, the scar that's open.
That's Dark Star from Beck in an acoustic version. Can you list who else playing on this? I guess we talked about how great they sound. Might as well give them names.
Yeah. Here's the short answer. Brian, Ryan, Matt, Justin.
Part of the Beck entourage that changes from show to show, and particularly for this acoustic version we're listening to some things from today. We talked a little bit about your early days in L.A., jumping on stage and things like that. But going back further than that, I've actually never heard you talk about you dropped out of high school in 10th grade. Were you, like, ready to go, full of confidence, I'm making the right decision when you did that, or were you scared?
No, I wanted to go to school. I was trying to get into different schools, City College and all that stuff. And, you know, I knocked around the City College for a little while.
Did you approach the traveling you did after that as, you know, as educational, or is it just sort of what you did?
Well, you know, at the time, my only other opportunity was menial work, you know, and I did that for a while, and I thought, you know, might as well go look around what else is out there, because there wasn't a lot of sitting around for me in L.A., you know. I was working in different jobs that weren't great, so I thought I'd try to play music and see if I could exist like that for a little bit, but, you know, there wasn't much to be made there, so, you know, I just did odd jobs, just trying to stay afloat, but I couldn't get a real job, because I didn't have credentials or, you know, for, you know, people would want to hire you.
Well, you're lucky you figured something out.
I'm lucky, yeah, very lucky.
One of the cool things about the information, and I can't wait to get the deluxe edition, because it might mean more stickers, I don't know, is that you get to invent your own cover. And people have said that whole you know, individuals taking charge of whatever the art may be was part, a tenet of the Fluxus movement. Is that your grandfather was part of? Is that accurate, or does that have anything to do with it?
That is, yeah. There is an element of that. Trying to involve the viewer, and so art isn't completely passive. And yeah, I mean, the experience, it does get passive. And we were talking about the package and someone picking it up and looking at it and putting it in the plastic case and then putting it away forever. Myself and Big Active, the designers, we were trying to figure out how to make it feel valid for ourselves. Why bother, you know, when people could just download it, you know. The deluxe package is going to... We actually intended it to come out at the same time, but we were so behind schedule on getting these... There was so much involved with getting these stickers together that we never... We missed the deadline on it. But yeah, it's finally coming out, and it's really something getting all of them together. And we're actually talking about maybe doing a book or something, you know, expanding the idea even further.
A book that you would do yourself other things on, or
sort of an art book, you know, with the stickers and something that people can just use the stickers as an excuse to start making things, drawing, doing something creative.
Beck is our guest, and we are listening to some acoustic tracks and talking about the information, the deluxe edition, which will have some extra tracks, things that didn't make it on the original, and what else?
Yeah, it's got some remixes. It's got some extra videos. We had maybe 35, 40 songs, and we cut them down to 15. So I think there's an extra 3 or 4 songs on this version.
Here's one that made it, but in another acoustic version. This is Strange Apparition. Anything pertinent to say about it?
This one was getting thrown out in the garbage. There were a lot of casualties. And I had written, we had the beat, and I had written maybe 3 or 4 songs over it that just none of them made the grade. And Nigel came in late one day, and I just, this was my last attempt. So I just did a one-man band kind of thing and did this piano part and acoustic guitar. Just wrote the song real quick before he came in after lunch. And it was supposed to be a B-side, because it doesn't really sound like the rest of the record. It sounds kind of like this Stones kind of piano banging song. And but people liked it. It just had some energy that I think the record needed.
And this is a Strange Apparition.
Lord, please don't forsake me in my Mercedes-Benz. Oh, the riches in the ruins.
apparition haunting my brain. Standing on the last day of a dream walk away. When the Lord comes to my front door and ask me what I got to show, besides the dust in my pockets, the things that eat away my soul. Strange apparition haunting my brain. Piss on the ashes of the dream that what we made. At least I had to lose from most I seem to care. Anything should just make you happy. Nothing make you scared. We'll be on the shoreline when the heavy ship goes down. If it's you were lucky, you should see yourself now.
The acoustic version of Strange Apparition as we are going through some live performances with Beck. We'll get to another one in just a moment. One of the things about people look back at Sea Change and hear a lot of the emotion and things that were going on in your life at the time. But many things have gone on in your life at the time, including your family and all that. Has how you worked having a family now changed? Has it changed your life? Or are you and does it change your art in that way? Does it change what you write about? What you think about?
I don't think it changes it. It just broadens it. I think it expands it because I think there's just other channels of emotion that just open up. You know, it doesn't change the ones you have. I don't believe. I mean, maybe there are circumstances where it changes a person if somebody was living a one kind of life and they had to stop living that life because they had a kid. But I'm kind of just doing the same things I did. I just, I have a child there too. And I mean, it's definitely given me some kind of creative energy, I think. But I don't think it's done anything radical to my music, but definitely to my life.
and
yet, but I'm sure it comes out, because I think, when you have kids, you're just, You see the world in a slightly different direction, and there's a different kind of empathy. I mean, not to say that you don't have that when when you don't have kids, but there's a whole other thing, and there's a whole other respect for other people who are bringing up kids, and you see what it takes.
One thing I found it did for me was it changed my relationship with my parents, made me understand them a little better. Did that happen with you?
Sure. Oh, yeah. I'm amazed because my parents were so young. You know, they were 18, 19. So.
Wow. Well, thanks a lot for talking with us today. And you're going to Japan. Is that true for a while?
Yeah, we're going to go over to Japan. Haven't been there in a while, so we're looking forward to that. And hopefully we'll see some cherry blossoms. I think we're going to get there right as they're ending.
And any plans to be back on the road this summer here, or what would you be doing?
Well, we're having another baby, or my wife is. So I think I'm going to be home a little bit. I don't think we're going to be going out this summer.
Well, we'll go out with a... let's play this one. This is movie theme, kind of isolated. Now, when things get connected on the album, is that kind of a more of a mixing thing, or do you conceive of them together?
You mean that the fact there's no space between the songs?
Yeah.
I think that works on a couple of songs, but yeah, that's one thing I would have changed on the record.
Really?
I mean, the producer Nigel doesn't like space between songs. He likes things going right into each other. But I think this record could use a little breathing room in places. So that was a conscious decision, but maybe not a good one.
All right. Well, this is movie theme.
Looking for a ladder in the stratosphere, so I can be happy and let my bones melt away. Stranded on a plane that was circling round, I carry my heart like a soldier with a hand grenade. We'll be right back.
movie theme as we finish up our discussion with Beck and hearing back these live acoustic performances today. Beck, thanks a lot for spending time with us.
Thanks.